6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
So where are they going to get their one city from again? I'm still struggling with that one.
Yeah, you know, you missed our last batch of episodes with this whole Gotye nonsense. You have any thoughts on that one you can get out here while we are on it? And, you know, what they do at 1C moving forward, considering he was supposed to be the guy?
I don't know. I think that, you know, I think looking at this shuffling of players after a couple of weeks here, you know, getting Drysdale in, who I do like a lot, that potentially could work to their advantage. The fact that it solidifies the top end of the defense, you know, you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know, in some respect here, but you know, the only other way that I can think they get around this is if they somehow figure out a way to get, and I know, Dan, you've had some great articles and discussions on Trevor Zegras over the past week or so here. And, you know, he's a guy that I would love to see. And I don't even care if Torts likes, I don't give a fuck about that. I want to go see a player that is capable of highlight real goals and is going to be an outstanding compliment to Matvei Michkov if and when he comes over within the next 2 years here. So, you know, that's the thing that they're going to need to do is find that level of center that's young enough on another team that for whatever reason is not fitting with the current group, the coach doesn't like them. There's going to be a deficiency, right? Like, it's not going to be the perfect player. It's like, oh, all of a sudden the Oilers don't want McDavid. Like, that's not going to happen. So they're going to have to find a younger player that may have a deficiency and figure out if they can live with that deficiency or remedy that by trading for that player and bringing him in to, you know, to slot in on that first line, hopefully as a 1C for the next 8 years. And, you know, maybe that's a guy like Zegras, you know, due to some circumstances with Verbeek out in Anaheim, where he may not be fitting well with the team, or they have a surplus of forwards now and need to fill another, you know, whether that's goalie, they can't, I mean, the Flyers don't have any goalies to trade now with Hart not being here. But, you know, there's got to be some sort of exchange or swap in that regard for them to get that, because this team obviously is never going to finish high enough in a draft to get a Celebrini or to get, you know, a player of an Austin Matthews caliber or anything like that. Nathan MacKinnon, they're just averse to that. They think that they don't need to do it. You know, I have been bitching and complaining about that for years now. You know, the three of us have, as well as some others. For whatever reason, they think they're immune from it and they can figure it out. I think it'll be very, very difficult. But, you know, that's the only thing I see is them finding a player who's young that has a deficiency that they might be able to trade a boatload of assets for.
Zegras just makes the most sense right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the free agent pool is shit. You know, the highlights are Stamkos, Reinhardt, and Elias Lindholm. Elias Lindholm's 29. I think Reinhardt's 28. I would actually fucking love Sam Reinhardt on this team. But, you know, Stamkos and Reinhardt are wingers at this point in their careers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Elias Lindholm, you already have Sean Couturier here as your aging two-way, you know, guy. You don't need to getting paid a shit ton of money. You really don't need a second one. So, free agent pool, shit. Your RFA pool is still Elias Pettersson. That's pretty much it. And I got to assume he goes back to Vancouver. You know, Zegras just makes the most sense right now. You know, is he the true bona fide number one you need? Probably not, but is he the best forward on this team if he were to show up? Yeah, by a fucking wide margin. And, you know, obviously there's a history of Torts there he's not going to like, but, you know, he's besties with Drysdale. He's besties with York. He was drafted by Bob Murray, who's in the front office now. You know, like, there are some things that will link them together. The Flyers obviously just did a deal with Anaheim. So I'm all in on Zegras. That would be my guy right now. Like, are there better options? Sure. Are you going to get him easily? No. You know, the only real way to add the high-end talent that you need is drafting. And they have made a case to never fucking draft well again because they want to work hard and, you know, be a bubble playoff team. So you're not going to get that talent, especially this year. Apparently this is not nearly as deep a draft on the whole as it was in the past. So, you know, Zegras just is the best fit. As we get closer to the trade deadline in the summer, I'm sure there'll be other names that pop up on the whole as far as what they could want, you know, what other teams, you know, become available. But right now, I mean, Zegras is the best bet. He's young, he's under contract, he's got the talent, you know, 60-point guy in the past 2 years. I just don't really see a downside to that right now. So, yeah, he'd be my guy.
I hope that they pull the trigger on that because, you know, that's the only avenue that they have. And I think Keith Jones again had another comment about finding high end talent when he was interviewed within the past week or two. So it's like there aren't a lot of options out there, Keith and Danny. Like, figure it out via fucking trade here. I don't care at this point. Put three first round picks in Oliver Bonk and more. Like, figure out how to make an attractive package for a guy like Trevor Zegras. That's the only way you're gonna do it, because you refuse to get a high end pick and the free agency is not a way that you're going to do this. It's just
free agency has done shit for years. It's been so long since you've had, you know, more than one guy of substance hit free agency. It just doesn't happen anymore. You know, you can't just assume that three of the best players in the NHL are going to make it to free agency. They're going to be traded the deadline and re-signed by their team. It just doesn't happen anymore. It's just, you know, waiting for that magical free agent to fall into your lap. And the ones that are, you know, if you want someone like Sam Reinhart, this guy's getting like fucking $10 million a year next year. You know, so you're either going to have to pay through it through assets to make a trade, or you have to pay through your fucking nose with your checkbook, you know, trying to sign a free agent. And the, you know, who even knows if Sam Reinhart makes it a free agent? I can't imagine Florida's going to be eager to let him go. You know, it's just, you're going to have to do it one way or another if you're not going to draft it. And they clearly are not going to draft it. And even if they fucking draft it, they're probably not going to play him, like that we've learned with a lot of these other prospects. So, yeah.
It'll be very hard.
Nut up sooner or later.
With the way the Flyers historically are bringing in their talent through the draft and bringing up players, it is impossible for a player that's drafted, you know, 18th overall to work their way up to a 1C on this team within any reasonable sense of time.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't happen with the way the Flyers will progress their prospects. It is impossible. They are not going to get that Sebastian Aho kind of late round pick that is going to come in here and all of a sudden it's like, well, shit, this guy's a 1C. You know, it's just not going to happen with them. Their system and the framework with which they operate completely precludes that from happening, even if the player has the talent. I am confident of that.
Yep, I'd agree.
We've harped on this theme for a long time on the show, which is at some point they've got to take a risk. They've got to roll the dice and they've got to just do something. And a guy like Zegras checks a lot of boxes. Is he a number one C? We don't know. I'm confident saying he's at least a 2C. That I know. Don't forget, who's he been playing with in Anaheim? Frank Vetrano? Troy Terry? Like what are these big superstar wingers that he's got? Like, at least if he can come here and then you put him with an Owen Tippett, a Travis Konecny, and try to unlock a little bit more production out of those players so that those players can hit their potential instead of just maxing out and topping out. And what you see is what you get. And they're not going to get very much better than what they are right now. You got to try to actively make moves to not only improve your depth on the roster, and Zegras would do that at the center position automatically, just even if he is a 2C, doesn't matter. Now, I don't think it's going to cost a bunch of the stuff that, but I think, Mike, what you were saying is be creative and come up with a package. If it means you got a package, you know, a first round pick, you know, a prospect of the system.
And overpay. Fuck it, overpay. You know, yeah.
Whatever. Like, then you got to figure that out. This team needs to identify players like that. You talked about it, Dan. They're not going to go out and blow the, you know, bank on Sam Reinhart. They're not going to go out and do those things. But at the same time, they're not going to be drafting in a position to address that 1C position. So you're going to have to make shrewd moves. You're going to have to identify, get your player assessment people to go around and target if this guy's available, this is a guy we need to go after. If Elias Peterson's available, then you should be going after him, or at least inquiring. I really don't see him leaving. He's always said, I want to be on a winning team. You can't get much more winning than what Vancouver's doing right now.
Yeah, right.
So unless he's lying and he just wants to go to fucking Florida and be tax exempt and get $11 million a season, I don't know. Okay, nobody knows unless you talk to him. But still, you have to at some point say, you know what? We're going to roll the dice here. And even if he is a 2C, it's okay. We still have Couturier to kind of freaking, and he's going to be there no matter what. Anyways, I'd rather have Couturier and Zegras, you know, with Frost and whoever, and then to just have Couturier and Frost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's not a winning formula.
Yeah,
that's not a way to move this team forward. You're gonna have to go out and get a guy like a Trevor Zegras. They need to go and see if they can make that done.
Yeah, absolutely right, Manny. I mean, absolutely correct. And I think, not only from the on-ice standpoint, but from a business, you know, perspective, this team gets Zegras and Michkov on a line. That place is sold out every freaking night. I mean, I'd consider buying a season ticket package. I'd be very, very interested to see how these guys can come up together. And with that level of talent, which we haven't seen since the fucking mid-90s in terms of offensive firepower, I mean, that would just be fantastic. You know, I think it puts butts in seats. It gets people talking, gets eyeballs on the team. They would finally have signature players. I know that Giroux was their signature player for a while. I don't consider anyone else on those teams to be one. But that's what they need. Multiple signature players who are on the same timeline. And you get that with him. And I do think that Anaheim may have an appetite, you know, to move him given their current young core of forwards that they have, especially with Cutter Gauthier on his way there at the end of the season. They're going to take a chance too. I mean, like you were saying, and like I've said too, there's not going to be the perfect, you know, 22-year-old 1C sitting out there that's just waiting to be plucked. It's not going to exist. There's going to be a potential deficiency, whether it's, you know, on defense or size-wise, something, some deficiency they're going to have to live with and assist that player in getting better at that deficiency in order to reap the rewards of having that 1C for the next 8 years to work with Michkov and the hope of, you know, winning a cup and taking this team to the next level. Now's the time to do that. You don't wait. Oh, we'll just, and you know, I've made fun of this team, rightfully so, I think, for the past a year or two. Oh yeah, we'll just get our 1C when we're ready to win.
Yeah.
You know, we'll which just has
been
wait.
The thought process for a long time with this team since fucking Ekstall took
which
over.
Is the most
we'll
just, asinine.
We can't add now, we can add when we're ready. And it's like, well, fucking hold on a second. How do you get ready without making the additions to begin with?
Like, hang on. I wanna make the vein in Mike's forehead pop out. You ready? The players will decide.
God, Jesus. God, the quote that I have hated the most for years. God, yeah.
Hang on, now I got to make Dan's forehead explode. Ready? There's people on Twitter right now praising Alex Lyon.
I just saw the group chat.
Oh,
I checked
can't
it.
Believe this. Yeah. Oh, my God. Why? Because he shut out the Flyers?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's future Vezina Trophy winner, Alex Lyon, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to making a package for Zegras, like, you got an AHL team's worth of prospects that they refuse to play at the NHL. Put Bobby Brink, Emil Andre, and a first-round pick. Send them to Anaheim. There you go. First and second
or
round.
Two
whatever
first
they fucking
round
they
picks.
Need. Two first-round picks and Emil Andre. If you're not going to use them in the NHL because you're so goddamn concerned Nick Seeler plays every night, then fucking use these assets in a way that makes the team better. Use them to plug a hole somewhere else. You've got more than enough draft picks and more than enough prospects right now that do not have a spot on the main roster that you can make a trade, especially to a rebuilding team like Anaheim. I got to assume they would have loved to have someone like fucking Emil Andre on their team and another first-round pick. You know, like in that sense, I think the Flyers are probably one of the better setup teams to do that, to pluck someone like Zegras from Anaheim, like to create that package that could land them Zegras and could outbid most teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have no problem with them grossly overpaying because they've put themselves in a corner where they have no other way of getting that player. those players don't reach free agency, number one.
No. Nope.
And the team has purposely precluded themselves from picking in the top five.
Their entire plan was Cutter Gauthier is going to come and save us. That was the entire... He's going to fix the power play. He's going to be the top center. He's going to do this. And now it's gone. That was the only fucking thing they have. And the only backup plan they have is Michkov, who's trapped in Russia and is like 2 years away. So you can't even rely on that one to come in and save the date. Like, you need to be proactive here. They need to add. They need to go out of their goddamned way and do their jobs and do it. And that's... I mean, we talked about this on the Papa Show. Like, that's the thing. That's what's still missing for me to buy in to all of this is... They are, you know, Breer talked at his press conference about they're not going to buy at the deadline, which, like, on the whole, I do agree with, right? There's no reason you need to add Nate Thompson and Derek Grant right now. But if someone like Zegras is available, you got to do it. You got to pull that trigger. Whether it comes to the deadline of the offseason, who knows? You know, whether his leg's still broke by the deadline, who it doesn't even matter. But that's what you need me to buy in. You know, the Gauthier trade, you know, people treat Drysdale like he's a king and they shit on Gauthier. But the reality is that was a valuable prospect for a valuable prospect. Mm-hmm. That was not an addition, you know. That was a swap. You still need that addition. You need to prove that you can add this high-end talent to successfully make this team something. I don't want more Nick Deloriers. I don't want more Nick Sealers. Like, these depth pieces don't matter. You need to add this high-end talent. That is the one thing. If we walk away from this summer and Elias Pettersson and Trevor Zegers are both fucking Philadelphia Flyers, hey, I'm on board 110%. But until that trigger's pulled, until these moves happen, and this organization shows that they have the balls to make these additions that they absolutely need to make, it's where I struggle the most, because it's where the two previous GMs struggled the most. This organization hasn't made a big goddamn trade since Chris Pronger. That was 2009! 15 years ago! You know, there's no recent track record of this. And that's the one thing that I think is keeping me from truly buying in is just the lackluster record. And, you know, the fact that Breer was here through the last year of the Chuck Fletcher era, they made a bunch of dumb decisions, doesn't help that one from his confidence either. You know, they need to prove it to me that they are capable of building a winning team before I buy back in. And finding that legit top young center is probably going to be the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't even know, you know, I let's say, okay, they're like, okay, we don't want to do any of that. We're just going to draft, you know, 17th overall, and we'll find our 1C that way. It's like, no. That's not even going to work because they've purposely fast-forwarded their own timeline by not bottoming out and not accumulating those picks and starting with all the first-rounders. They think they're ahead of that. They already have players that are on the team now, like the Owen Tippetts of the world, that they want to win with within the next 1, 2, or 3 years. That's their timeline. When you pick 17th overall, you ain't going to win with that player in the next 1, 2, or 3 years.
Yeah.
That player is going to take probably at least 2 to 4 years just to get to the NHL. And at that point, we'll need to acclimate for another 1 or 2 years. So you're talking, you know, 5 or 6 years before you're probably fully getting max potential out of that guy. That timeline doesn't fit anymore with this team because this team didn't want that timeline. No. They wanted to skip the first step of an actual rebuild, and that's where they're at now. So the only way it's going to fit is if you draft like a Macklin Celebrini at number one overall, who's going to be ready, or you pluck a guy like Trevor Zegras, who's already in his early 20s and has experience. But short of that, picking in the mid to late first round isn't going to help this team's timeline. As sick as it sounds, they've already fast forwarded beyond that.
Yep.
The entire narrative with why this team doing exceeding expectations and winning. Mike, we talked about this when you were sick, me and Dan. But, you know, you got Owen Tippett's contract coming up. And Anthony DeMarco said it's somewhere in the neighborhood, probably six point five.
Yeah, more or less the guess.
Okay. They got to sign Travis Konecny. Both of these players, everybody wants to sign them both. I know Carter Hart's going to be off the books likely now, right?
Yeah. Gone. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that frees up some money. But still, you're going to be adding, I'd imagine Konecny is what, 8.5?
Yeah, probably around there.
Okay, so you're going to spend 8.5 and 6 or 6.5. You're going to spend $15 million of your cap on two wingers, and there's still no center that's going to be helping them out.
Yep.
So in other words, you're going to give these guys a vast amount of money on top of the money that they're already getting paid now? And how much more production are you going to get out of that extra money that you're going to be giving them? The answer is not that much. And the problem with the thinking on Flyers Twitter is, well, these guys are amazing because the Flyers are doing so well. We want to keep them and we love these players. And it's neither here nor there. Both players are having good seasons. But to give both of these guys $15 million and the forward group as a whole isn't really going to change next year or the year after, are you really going to get that much bang for your buck? How many more goals is Owen Tippett going to score with the same crew around him?
Yeah, exactly.
How many more, you know, 30 goal seasons is Travis Konecny going to have with the same crew? And you know what? Maybe they replicate it. But the whole point is it's a team that's supposed to be on the rise. And so these players should be adding to their production, but they're not really going to be. And they're not because they're surrounded by the same fluff that's been surrounding them this year, because you're not going out and getting the Trevor Zegras, and you're not going out and doing what winning teams actually do, which is the Vegas Golden Knights sniff around and they go, oh shit, Jack Eichel's available. You know what? Get Buffalo on the phone,
make it happen.
And
yeah.
And they make that deal happen when free agency happens. Wait a minute. Oh, I just lost his name. Defenseman.
Alex Pietrangelo's
walking away from St. Louis. Okay, call him. Bring him over here. We're going to tour him. Take a look at the schools. This is the neighborhood you're going to live in. Awesome. It's done. When St. Louis went out and got Ryan O'Reilly. Not farting around and waiting. They're not sitting around waiting for their own guys to develop internally and to magically just make this happen. You have to get guys from outside to make these guys better. And I think that the front office knows that, but I'm not going to jump on board until I see them bring
they need to execute it.
Somebody.
Yeah. And the Connor Gauthier deal was forced upon them. It's not like they were like, hey, we're going to buttress our defense and remove Gauthier because we have a plan to like, that was not them. They didn't want to do that. That was forced upon them by Gauthier. So I give the Flyers credit, I guess, for reacting and getting Drysdale, because I think that was a pretty good use of resources there. But it's not like they made the decision and said, we're going to go in this direction and do it. So like, they don't get credit for being creative and trying to do that. That situation was forced upon them. So they need to make a trade of equal impact on their own volition and their own willingness to do it. Not because the player or some outside force is forcing their hand.
It's, you know, what Manny was just talking about with the team kind of topping out. It's something I think about a lot with this group, you know, especially with these rumors like, oh, we're going to bring back Nick Seeler now. And I'm just like, if this team gets run back primarily in its entirety now, especially the forwards and defense, like, and everyone is doing decent this year. Konecny is not quite a point per game guy. Farabee's breaking out. Tippett's having a decent year. Frost is Morgan Frost. You know, everyone's more or less playing to their own personal bests right now. Travis Sanheim, you know,
yes.
Seeler, Drysdale. And you don't build around this. And you just run it back with the same group. Like, what are you expecting things are going to get better? Mm-hmm. And this goes back to something we've been talking about a long time in the show, which is becoming the fucking Columbus Blue Jackets. Of, hey, there's a hardworking team that's going to top out at a certain level. You're never going to get past that level because they refuse to make those moves. And it's the legitimate fear now, because I don't trust them to make these big-time additions. And as you just said, I think the front office is aware of those moves. You know, Anthony brought that up on his show, that they're aware of it, which is great and all. I'm sure Chuck Fletcher was a fucking aware they needed a top center too, and he didn't do a goddamn thing about it. You know, making those executions and actually pulling the trigger on this stuff and making these big time roster changes is something we haven't seen in a long time. And they need to earn that trust. And just running it back with the exact same group and expecting different results next season would be fucking insane. You know, if Konecny stumbles again, if Sanheim reverts back to being a piece of shit, you know, and these guys actively get worse, you're going to have a worse result. And they're going to look fucking stupid for running it back because they could have changed things. You know, that's the 2019-20 theory. Ah, we had a good team. We made the playoff, and they didn't change anything. We brought in Eric Gustafson and called it a summer. And then they fucking failed because of it. Yeah, no shit. You know, it's just, you got to be careful here. And the Tortorella effect you just alerted to. You know, the players are going to give up on this guy sooner or later. And if you don't reciprocate their work ethic with good players in a step forward, that's going to happen a lot sooner than you think it's going to happen. You know, they got it. You got to do it. And I really genuinely hope they do. Like, I hope it's Zegras. I hope they make some noticeable change. I don't want another fucking random middle six winger. I don't want a Nick Seeler clone. I don't want a Nick Delorier 3.0 here. Like, you need a guy of substance. I don't even care who that is at this point. Just fucking give it to me. Like, show me that you are capable of making the big calls, making the changes. If you have to buy out Atkinson and Peterson to make a big fucking trade, then do it. If you have to give up a first-round pick to make a big trade, then do it. You know, that's what I want to see from this organization. I want to see action. I want to see big action. You don't have to try and put on a cup-caliber team next year. You don't have to spend 10 first-round picks and $40 million to put on a team. I only need one or two right now. But I want a proof that you are willing to step in the right direction and put this team in a role. And again, Zegras is just like the perfect fucking guy right now to make that happen.
I mean, they do have a lot of draft capital. They got the two first-round picks this year, two second-round picks this year. They have a first and 25, 2 seconds and 25.
That's before the deadline.
Yeah, yeah.
Before and they've Walker got, and all those guys get moved.
Yep. So they're pretty well loaded on first and second round picks for the next 3 years here. They shouldn't have a problem from that standpoint. Now, it's probably going to take more than that as well, which, you know, again, I'm fine with. I mean, this team can't – there's no way that Keith Jones is thinking, yeah, we're going to get our 1C of the future by drafting him 17th overall this year. There is no fucking way that he thinks that. That ain't happening. So, you know, you're not doing it that way, and you know you're not getting that player in free agency this year or the next year or the next year or the next year. So where does that leave you? Via trade.
There's no help internally either. Elliot Desnoyers is your only guy at center now with Cutter Gauthier out, and fucking Desnoyers has sucked ass this year. Like, you got there's nobody playing center internally. Michkov is trying to convert to C, but he may not be a center in the NHL, and his arrival's 2 years away. You've got fucking nobody here, you know, in the immediate answer that can play their role next year. You know, so they got some answers. And that was the thing with the Gauthier leaving. That was the biggest thing was I just feel like they expected him to just solve all of their problems. He's going to be 1C. He's going to fix the power play. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And now you lost that. You know,
I'm kind of glad they did because it forces their hand now.
In a way, yeah.
It forces their hand.
Listen, we've talked about this in the past. Their entire fucking rebuilding strategy was Gauthier and Michkov, a college kid and a fucking Russian. You know, there's a chance Michkov doesn't show up. What if he gets trapped in fucking Russia? Then what? Your entire rebuilding strategy, the two guys that you were content with rolling with because you didn't want to fucking tank and get another one, that's off the table. You know, it was a flawed strategy from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And now they're paying for it. Now they got to convert on the fly and make these changes. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to fucking rebuild and take your shot at Celebrini or Bedard or whatever the case may be, fuck you. Now you got to go get Zegras. Mm-hmm. You shot yourself in the foot on this one.
I'm glad that they traded Gauthier because I think it forces their hand, because this is what they would have done. They would have tried to just put some ass clown on the first pair on defense and said, oh, yeah, look, we've solved our defense. And they never would have actually ever gotten a top pair right-handed defenseman. And they would have had Sanheim up there as their best guy. And, you know, that's not good enough. And they would have been trying to work around that bullshit for years, and you can mask that a little bit more, but you can't mask not having a 1C.
Yeah.
So I think it creates more of a spotlight on the position of need versus not having that top pair defenseman where you might be able to get away with it more. So from that respect, you know, I'm very happy that this trade took place and that now we have a glaring hole that has to be addressed.
You can build a reasonable six-man defense group. You cannot roll out a team of middle six forwards as your success. Yeah. Yeah.
But by the way, that ass clown that was going to play top pair minutes, his name is Travis Sanheim.
Yeah.
Like, he slowed down quite a bit from what he was doing the first 2 months of the season. But whatever. Let's not talk about that. Let's conveniently ignore that. We talked about the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm just going back in time here. So John Tortorella's hired 15-16, it looks like. Yeah, because Todd Richards preceded him.
Yep.
So he goes 34-33-8. They finish eighth in the Metro. But they had fired the coach and Torts took over. Right? Sound familiar? Torts takes over from a shit coach and they, whatever, the first year there, they kind of struggle. The second year, they go 108 points. They finish third in the Metro. So the Metro must have been fucking dominant at that time. Look at their scoring. They are led by Cam Atkinson, 62 points. Alexander Wenberg, 59. Brandon Saad.
Wow.
Nick Foligno. Sam
I would
Gagne.
Have predicted it, but man, that's crazy.
But they had Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, Dubinsky, Hartnell, Boone Jenner, you know, Jack Johnson, David Savard, Lucas Sedlak, Oliver Bjorkstrand, all the, and they had Bob Annette in, I would assume is his, one of his Vezina seasons because he had 41 wins and like ridiculous record. So they did really, really well. If we go fast forward to
so it's kind of what the Flyers are doing this year, right?
Correct. So if we go next year, okay, 97 points. So if you're negative, you could say, okay, they lost 11 points. They finished fourth in the Metro.
Still a great season, though.
But again, it's the same, you know, the usual gang of idiots, as Mad Magazine would say. You know, Josh Anderson, Cam Atkinson. But they got Artemi Panarin leading them in scoring that year, 82 points. And then how long does he stay in Columbus? Do you remember? Was it the 1 year and then he was kind of gone?
2 years.
I think it was 2 years. Yeah.
So, in other words, their time to capitalize was with Artemi Panarin.
I think they tried, too, with Duchesne for 1 year.
There was a year that I saw Matt Duchesne's name. Dubois is on the squad
right
now at this time.
Patrick Laine has been there for a handful of years now.
Yeah, so their next season is like, you know, 98 points. So they're kind of at that, you know, 97, 98, 100-point level. They're a playoff team. But to get over that hump, you know, they ended up losing Panarin. And then what do they replace him with? Did it work out? No.
It's 2 years
then
for
they go
Panarin,
to,
by the way.
Yeah, so then they go to 81 points. And then the decline is kind of starting here. Mm-hmm. That's what happens if things don't stay fresh. You know, they had Panarin for a little bit of time. And obviously it's not their fault. He wanted to go to New York and that was it. But that's kind of what we're seeing here. If if we don't get an influx, where's our Panarin? Is it Matvei Michkov?
That's the
who we have to wait another 2 years for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the point is to get guys in here ready for when our Artemi Panarin shows up.
Theoretically, that should be the plan. Yeah.
And I'll give Danny credit. They had a few suitors in that Cutter Gauthier sweepstakes. They were going to lose him anyway. Listen, I think Cutter Gauthier is going to be a good NHL player, really good one. I think he's going to challenge for the Calder next year. What do you think about that? I think he's going to be top three. He's going to be a finalist. Let's say even top five. I think overall, he's going to have a really solid career. Probably I wouldn't have done that trade for Jamie Drysdale if I wasn't under the gun. But he wanted out. I think it was a good return overall. And they addressed the position of need. The only other thing that I could see Danny Briere, and I've heard people alluding to it, was that 1C. That's the only other thing that he would have traded him for. He liked Drysdale. They made the trade for Drysdale. They need to address the center position here. Like, it's gone on way too long. You and Anthony DeMarco have been saying this for fucking ever on Flyers AD. The center position.
Yep.
Morgan Frost has not been the answer, and he's not going to be the answer to be a number one C.
Nope.
Sean Couturier is only going to get older.
Yep.
So where is this magic 1C going to come from? They're going to have to go out and roll the dice and do something. They just got to. It's the only way forward.
Yeah. You're very little options right now, you know, other than putting your two draft picks. Now we're going to, you know, draft 20th overall and 25th overall with the, you know, their own pick and the Panthers pick. And, oh, we're going to draft, you know, player X and player Y. They're both centers. We're going to put all the eggs in their basket for, you know, 5 years later. And it's just, you know, the timeline's not going to work, as Mike alluded to. You need an answer right now. And, you know, unfortunately, this summer's looking bone fucking dry when it comes to top forwards out there, especially centers, you know. But, and that, again, that's why Zegras makes a lot of sense. But if someone else comes along that's just as palatable, if not better, you got to pull the trigger, man. You just can't. If they don't address the center position with any kind of need, if they just run it back with Couturier, Frost, Cates, and Ryan Poehling, holy shit. You know, like, that's a complete and utter fucking failure on the part of the They probably will. If I was a betting man, that's what I would put my money on right now. But I don't know. Like, you got to address it, man, with some kind of fucking legitimacy. And I just, again, I don't trust them to do it on their own. They got to prove it to me.
And I think that's how, you know, how you get fans in too. Like I was saying, like, what I don't want them to do, and which I can see them trying to do because they're going to want to take the easy way out, path of least resistance, is to basically just build the team around the center, like around center by not having one. And then once they're ready to win, then they'll get like a 29-year-old, like a Lindholm or something, who has like 1 year left on his
Lindholm
deal.
Lindholm worries the fuck out of me, because that feels like something this front office is going to do. Here's a, you know, Sean Couturier-esque two-way center who's, you know, 29, and we can pay him a lifetime contract for. Like, that's the one guy that I don't want them to pursue, but boy, howdy, if there's a center they're going to try for, I think it's going to be Lindholm, and I don't like that one very much. Because it's not what you need. You don't need a fucking 30-year-old on a lifetime contract. You already have one of those. You know, you got to be ready to do more than that. And Lindholm is the guy that, I'm incredibly worried that...
It would suck. I mean, I don't want to fucking watch that. Like, I honestly would just rather watch Morgan Frost get more playing time, because at least he has moments of excitement and, like, there is, like, some talent there offensively for sure. But, I mean, that's the easy way out. And not even just to sign him long-term, but just... like get a guy like a Lindholm that is like maybe 29 or 30 years old that has like a year left on a deal, install that player for a year, try to win, doesn't work, don't re-sign him, you know, then you trade for another one the following year. Like that's what the rotation is for your 1C, because you never figured it out. And I can see them trying to go through, you know, that process year after year in an effort to solidify the position. And, you know, you strike that lightning in a bottle for a year with that guy, but you can never get a long-term answer. I mean, that would suck and be really annoying, but I could see them trying to do that, because getting a guy like a Zegras is too hard for us. We don't want to give up the picks. We don't want to give up the assets, and for whatever reason. But that's the, you know, that's the dance that I think they might do here. And fuck, I don't want to see him do it.
Their yearly trade deadline acquisition, some 30-year-old center that they're hoping is the key to success.
Yeah. Like that may be the way they operate here, because it's the easiest thing to do.
It's very Calgary Flames-esque.
Yes. Oh, yes. Look at,
like to me, Lindholm is a 2C, a really good 2C. He's not a 1C. But maybe at times he fits that mold, but that's kind of Calgary's problem. They had, you know, Sean Monahan at times. Could he play in the 1C? Maybe a little bit, but overall he's a 2C.
Well, your cadre of the world
players.
Right. And you know, the wheels fall off when they lose Tkachuk and Gaudreau and all that stuff. And Huberto has not worked out at all. That guy's just completely fallen off. But, like, again, they're a wing-heavy team with little down the middle. Okay, Kadri. You know, again, not a 1C. They're just rotating a bunch of 2Cs, and then when they're kind of lost their effectiveness, they either lose them or trade them or they move on from them. But they never end up getting that 1C. And they're stalled. Like, they're not going to get anywhere. And, again, it looks like they're probably going to be selling again at the deadline this year if they don't start winning games again. It's kind of a useless exercise. That's the mushy middle that nobody wants to be in.
Yep, exactly, man. And now's the time for the Flyers to make that, you know, make those bold moves, those significant moves. They have, for the most part, they have the assets to get those kinds of deals done. And for the most part, the fan base is going to be tolerant of them taking risks in that regard. So you need to do it this year, this trade deadline, this offseason. Like, this is not stuff you wait 5 years to do. Like the time is now. Everything's teed up now. You're fine. They're not fine from a cap standpoint, but they're fine. They can manage that. You know, the cap's not going to be a big concern for them until probably later on. Yeah, not
immediately.
Especially
without the hard extension. You know, that was the one that was probably going to kill you this year. But you got a couple years now before the cap's really going to fuck them from what they have.
So you have all the stars are aligned, you know, for them to be big time players to build their team through trades. Through one or two massive trades. And if they don't do that, man, I don't know what the fuck this front office is doing. I really don't.